Our monitor brings you Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Ready for the spontaneous, unrehearsed conference of four of America's top news reporters whose questions do not necessarily reflect their point of view, but maybe their way of getting a story for you. Here is the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
Welcome once again to Meet the Press. Our guest is the president of Argentina, Dr. Arturo Frondizi. He is the first elected civilian president in 20 years. His inauguration last May was widely acclaimed as a historic day for democracy in the Western Hemisphere. Dr. Frondizi left his capital at a critical moment. A general strike was being attempted, but he refused to cancel his trip. Dr. Frondizi is no stranger to trouble. Organized resistance to his government, led by communists and followers of former dictator Perón, broke out soon after he took office. Since November, a stage of siege has been in force in which political and individual freedoms have been suspended. Dr. Frondizi assumed the presidency with an empty treasury. He has now undertaken an economic program designed to make his 20 million people self-sufficient. He is a lawyer by profession. He was a member of Congress under Perón, but he frequently spoke out against the dictator's policies. Assisting in our program today are two translators. With their help, we'll bring you a simultaneous translation that accounts for the earphones. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Dr. Frondizi, are Ernest Lindley of Newsweek magazine, May Craig of the Portland, Maine Press Herald, Herb Kaplow of NBC News, and Lawrence E. Spivak, a regular member of the Meet the Press panel. Now, Mr. President, if you're ready, we'll start the questions with Mr. Spivak.
Mr. President, what do you hope most that this visit of yours to the United States will accomplish?
Espero obtener una gran comprensión entre los dos gobiernos.
A great deal of understanding between the two governments and the two peoples.
Mr. President, is there anything that the United States can do that it is not now doing that would be helpful to your regime?
We believe that the United States needs a great deal of understanding toward the economic, social, and political problems of Latin America, because due to the different degree of development of these two zones of the Americas, this is absolutely vital in order that there might be a true continental unity.
Is there anything, Mr. President, that we are now doing that it would be helpful if we stopped doing?
No.
What it would be better to do for us is for us to have credits for the development for the great basic works needed by the Argentine Republic. I must warn you that this trip is a trip of brotherly spirit and that I have not come to seek specific credits of any kind. But since you ask this question, I'd like to take this opportunity so that the people of the United States may know what we need. We do not want to have a single dollar for consumer goods in our country, but we do need capital to develop our basic works, especially in the field of hydroelectric power and of steel and iron.
Mr. President, there have been reports that you've come to this country with a list of projects which you hope will attract private capital to Argentina. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. In the 8 months that I've been in the government, we have initiated the development of the petroleum, and we are importing petroleum at around $250 million worth a year, which is a very important sum, bearing in mind that the total exports of Argentina is $1 billion a year. And the most serious thing is that this petroleum is in our own soil. We have it there. Our government, with the plan that we have started, in 2 years will have self-sufficiency in petroleum. At this time, we need, for that reason, to develop, as I told you a moment ago, the hydroelectric works and iron ore in order to have the basis for a great economic expansion in our country.
Mr. Kaplow, Mr. President, what have you done to make American investment in Argentina attractive?
We have created legal conditions of security, and therefore we believe that United States capital will be interested in going to Argentina.
You have done away with several of the interfering factors that in the past have troubled American investors?
No existe en este momento.
At this time, there is no interference of any kind. We have issued standards of a juridical nature which will ensure a fair treatment for all.
What can the United States get out of helping Argentina and Latin America in general? How can we benefit?
No he entendido la pregunta que formula.
I have not understood your question, sir.
What can the United States, how can the United States benefit from helping Argentina and Latin America in general?
El beneficio que puede the benefit tener that may be obtained is that all of Latin America will be developed. And as I've said in the Congress of your country, if Latin America is developed, they will have greater reason to defend freedom and democracy. Misery, cultural backwardness are the substances which create the greatest dangers for the democratic system in this continent. Mrs. Craig.
Mr. President, Russian submarines are reported cruising up and down our Atlantic coasts. Did you ever discover the nationality of the submarine that was cruising along the Argentine coast last spring?
Nuestra Marina de Guerra.
Our Navy patrols the coasts of the South Atlantic to defend our principles of respect for Argentine sovereignty. The Navy found a submarine. They requested it to surface, and when this request was denied, depth charges were launched. We were never able to determine for sure the nationality of that submarine.
Mr. Khrushchev has said that he has missile-shooting submarines which can destroy all the coastal cities of the United States. Has any such statement ever been made to Argentina?
I'm not aware of any statement of this kind on Argentina.
Admiral Rojas, then your vice president, said at the time of this incident off your coast that he believed the submarines were surveying and mapping the lonely coasts of Patagonia. Do you think so too?
It is possible that they might have been surveying the Argentine coast, yes.
What other purpose would there be?
The purpose is to find out what our coast is like.
Do you believe that Russian submarines have bases in the Antarctic near you?
We have no proof of this.
Do you think they're whaling?
I don't think that they're hunting whales. I don't think that's a good job for a submarine.
Mr. Lindley.
Mr. President, what was the real purpose of the general strike called just as you were leaving to pay your visit to this country? Was it to show disapproval of the purposes of your visit, or was it to overthrow your government, or what?
La huelga.
The strike had various purposes. Naturally, an attempt was made to create problems for the government and to place the President of the Republic the problem of deciding whether to cancel the trip or not. That is why we adopted the appropriate measures to maintain order in the Republic, and I left Argentina for this country to carry out the visit I had promised.
Mr. President, your Minister of Labor is reported in the press to have blamed the strike primarily on the communists and conservative extremists rather than on the followers of former President Perón. Who, in your judgment, was really responsible for organizing the strike?
The principal persons responsible for the strike were the communist leaders and part of the Peronist leaders.
Does your government intend to take any steps to remove from office or punish the men responsible for organizing this general strike, which apparently had a political rather than a simple economic purpose?
Yes. Our government has taken the appropriate measures, and since this strike is a strike of a political and subversive nature, our government has arrested the main leaders responsible for it.
Do you feel confident that you can ride through this storm and persuade the labor unions to support or at least to accept the strenuous measures you've taken to restore financial solvency?
I have gone through many storms in my life, and I hope to go through this storm too. I think that the labor leaders in my country will understand that what they must do is to work for the spiritual and material strengthening of our republic. That is my conviction. I think that all of the sectors of Argentine life, leaders or not, will see that order, freedom, democracy, and work are the only things that can make our country great.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. President, what do you consider today your major problem in establishing Argentine democracy on a firm basis?
In order to consolidate democracy in Argentina, what we need is a quick impulse to our economic development and logically to intensify the process of educating all of the sectors of the nation.
How much of a threat to your regime are the Peronists today?
They are no threat, because when they want to subvert order and democracy in the republic, all of those who wish to work within the law may do so. Those who place themselves outside of the pale of the law will suffer the penalties imposed by law.
For a long time, the armed forces of many South American countries have been threats to democratic government. What about the armed forces of your country today? Are they a threat to future democracy in any way?
The armed forces in the Argentine Republic are a bulwark of the democratic process, and in no way do they imply a threat of any kind as to the suppression of this kind of system in our country. There is a great deal of conviction among the officers and leaders of the armed forces that the government, the democratic system, is a definitely accepted way of life for us.
Mr. President, how much longer do you think it is going to be necessary to keep Argentina under its state of siege, and which has suspended the guarantees of the individuals and his political rights?
We cannot make a prediction on the time in which we will maintain the state of siege. That will depend on the understanding of the people itself, or that the people itself shows. We do not like to have this state of siege, but logically we are forced to take the necessary measures to maintain our democratic system in the face of all of those who pretend to subvert it to establish any kind of dictatorship.
Mr. President, are you prepared, if necessary, to outlaw the Communist Party and Perón's party?
Nosotros hemos tomado
medidas. We have taken measures within the laws of the state of siege against the communists and against the Peronist sectors that are for subversion.
If they are given the same freedom as other political parties in your country, isn't there danger that they may undermine your regime?
No serían de ninguna manera un peligro.
No, there would not be a danger in any case. And as long as they act within the law, we will not take any coercive measures against them, because we do not fear anti-democratic ideologies.
Mr. Kaplow.
Mr. President, would you welcome economic aid or and trade with communist nations?
We have not welcomed. What happens is that we have surpluses of exports that we cannot sell in other countries, and in this sense, we are following the teachings of great Western powers that do sell their products to those countries.
Do you now have any dealings, any agreement being worked upon, either pending or being considered for the future, with a communist nation?
We have dealings for exports of the surpluses that we have not been able to sell in other areas of the world.
Do you have anything new coming up?
No, sir. We have the agreements that are already in effect.
How have these agreements been working out? Have the communists attached any obligations to them on your part?
Absolutely no obligations, nor would we have accepted any. We are willing to sell those exportable surpluses, to acquire machinery, but we are not willing to admit any kind of ideological penetration or political penetration.
Do you believe, sir, that the Soviet Union is trying to gain a foothold in Latin America through economic penetration?
Logically, it is trying to do so, yes.
Mrs. Craig.
Mr. President, the United States has been criticized for not supporting revolutions against dictators in Latin America. How can we help revolutions against elected presidents and governments in a friendly country?
The United States should not help revolutions against governments that have been elected.
Do you think that we could have done differently in a relation to Peron or to Jimenez in Venezuela or against Batista in Cuba?
In many cases, there could have been a different way of acting, because it's one thing to help a revolution, and it's another thing to help the strongman governments. But naturally, that should be studied in the light of each one of the particular situations in each one of the countries of America.
Are we not forbidden by the Charter of the United Nations to interfere in internal affairs of other countries?
Naturally. And we do not think that you should interfere in the internal affairs of those countries. You should not interfere in one way or another, because the countries themselves in Latin America have a democratic tendency and they are willing to live in a democratic system. What has been requested, what has been raised before the United States, is the matter of help for the economic development of these nations, because naturally, if there is economic development, there can be no progress for anti-democratic mentality or any kind of totalitarian thinking.
Do you think the United States should not receive political refugees or should extradite them when asked to?
The principle that we have applied always is respect for the right of asylum in the various countries.
ultimately.
Mr. President, you've spoken of poverty in Latin America and the need for outside capital to develop Latin America. But there are also many rich people in Latin America. Some of the most notorious world playboys are from Latin America. Do you think the Latin American countries are doing as much as they could to mobilize their own sources of wealth for development?
There are many inhabitants of Latin America that are very wealthy and that have their money abroad. Those men are unpatriotic because what Latin America needs is the full utilization of its capital. Each one of the countries within its own way of thinking and its own effort is doing what it thinks it can do for itself. And to my government, we have put into effect a plan of economic expansion and of stabilization, and we hope that our capital, our own efforts, and the help coming from foreign investments will permit us in 2 years to definitely stabilize this economic growth of our country.
Mr. President, the countries of Latin America have had their independence for a long time, and most of them have long had republican constitutions, and yet every one of them at one time or another has fallen under dictatorship, and some of them have had whole successions of dictatorships. What is the reason for that? Is there something in the Latin temperament or tradition that makes it difficult for Latin American countries to maintain democratic government consistently?
Our revolutions in the past century were revolutions for freedom and democracy, but later our countries did not develop in the social and the cultural field, and democracy naturally requires a high level in this sense. These factors, the cultural, the economic, and social factors, are the ones which explain revolutions in Latin America. That is why that we have insisted on stressing the necessity of this cultural, economic, and social development in order to eliminate the causes of for dictatorships. Because dictatorships are not born by spontaneous combustion in the peoples, but rather they respond to deeply rooted reasons, as I have pointed out.
Mr. President, do you regard the new regime in Cuba as dedicated to democracy in our meaning of the word?
We hope that it will become a democratic system on the basis of a free election permitting the participation of the people fully.
Do you approve or disapprove of the executions that have been going on there since the Castro revolution succeeded?
We don't want bloodshed in any country in the world.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. President, is it too early yet to say how the austerity program which you recently set in motion is working?
It is not too early to say it. We can state that it will have good results. What it will be necessary is to wait a certain time for this program to give effective results in practice.
Do you think it is as austere now as it's going to be?
Yes, we believe so.
According to reports, your program is pretty well supported by the business groups, but opposed by what is called the left in your country, the working people. Is that correct?
Opposition to the plan of austerity and economic stabilization. Opposition comes to this from sectors of the left on the basis of theoretical points of view. But we think that the majority of the people in the country will support it in spite of the sacrifices that it will imply. The program we have placed before the Republic is very simple. They have to choose between 2 years of sacrifice and a great future, or many years of useless sacrifice with no certain future.
Mr. President, one more question. A couple of months ago, in the Dominican Republican, Juan Perón was quoted as saying, and these are the words, "I'm ready to leave for Argentina whenever the people call for me." How much chance is there, in your judgment, that the people will call for him?
I respect the freedom of opinion of any inhabitant of the world. He may say what he wishes. In Argentina, there is a democratic system, and we're going to maintain it.
Mr. Kaplow,
would you permit the return of Juan Perón, Mr. President?
In Argentina, there is a constitution, there is a law, there is a Congress, and there is justice, aside from the executive power represented by the President of the Republic. It is not within the powers of the President of the Republic to forbid anything, but Perón has charges against him in justice, and that is the problem. In Argentina, there is no dictator. There is a President of the Republic who acts within the framework of the Constitution, as happens in your own country.
Mrs. Craig.
Mr. President, you have a $100 million trade agreement with Soviet Russia. Have you visited Moscow? Do you plan to visit Moscow? Do you plan to invite top Soviet visitors?
We have an agreement of about $100 million. I have not visited Moscow. I do not intend to visit Moscow, and we will not invite the leaders from Moscow. I have said before that we are willing to sell and buy, following the practice of other great powers of the West. But we will not permit political or ideological infiltration in our country.
Mrs. Craig, gentlemen, I'm afraid that our time has run out. We're certainly very grateful to President Frondizi for being with us. We still have probably many more questions that could be asked, but we hope he will come back with us so that we can go over those questions at some future time. I'm very sorry to interrupt, but I see that our time is up.
And Monitor's thanks to Dr. Arturo Frondizi, President of Argentina, and to the members of the panel for a stimulating and enlightening half hour. Meet the Press, produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. What kind of world will it be when our children are grown up? Well, lots of us have asked ourselves that question. None of us can answer it. Yet this much is clear. Whatever kind of world it will be, their chances of facing it successfully will be much enhanced by a first-rate education. Their future must not be threatened by second-rate standards in their schools. Teachers and parents alike must guide them to a higher quality of education, and to achieve this quality, our standards must be raised starting now, standards of teaching ability, the respect the community gives its teachers, the goals the students aim for, the recognition and encouragement of gifted children. Overall, an increased respect for intellectual attainment. Achieving these goals costs money, but let's remember that every cent it costs is for the future of our children and our nation. Can money buy anything more precious? If you'd like to know how you and your community can help, write to Better Schools at 9 East 40th Street, New York 16, New York. Now it's time for Ben Grau to retire from the scene in favor of Dave Garraway and Don Russell and a lively assortment of Monitor guests. See you next Sunday. This is Monitor, the NBC Weekend Radio Service.